The third parak, Pratei Toru Klal HaSeo. Parak Gimel, Seif Aleph. It's very, very hard. And as I've been saying all along, or as a tshuva, it's never really quite sure that there's getting shot right. It's not, there are no translations and no mefarshim on this, so we just have to try together to do our best to try to understand in Al-Madrega what he's talking about, and to be mashlim with other things to try to help us understand. Kesher HaTorah BaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a big sentence, and it's not finished. Kesher HaTorah BaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds so obvious, but it's really not so poshut. The attachment of the Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kesher HaTorah BaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zehu Yisoid Avodas HaKodesh Shel Anshei HaSkula. That is the basis of the Avodas HaKodesh, of the holy work of Anshei HaSkula, of the great people of our nation. Kesher HaTorah BaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds, what do you mean? What else is the Torah supposed to be? In other words, what Rav Kook is saying is that it's the work, or it's the basis of the Avodas HaKodesh of our great people, and of all of our leaders and our great people, to uncover, to reveal the connection between the Torah and the one who gave the Torah. Zel Yisrael HaKodesh Al Anshi HaSkula. This is not something that we haven't spoken about over the years so many times, and the problem of that disconnect between Torah and HaKadosh Baruch. Not in Mitzvahs, but in the perception that people have. Harenu oiskim b'halachas. We're learning all day long, and we're oiskim b'halachas. We're very, very busy learning halachas. Benituchehen ubifratehen. We're constantly dissecting. Linatech means an operation, surgery. We are constantly being minateach, we're dissecting. Minituchein ubifratein. We're constantly involved in this avodas hakodesh of performing surgery on all halachas, meaning going deeper and deeper, trying to see the chiluk between one halacha and the other halacha. What is it that they have in common? How are they different? Ubifratehen, and all of the protim and halachas that anybody that's ever learned one seif, one little line of the Shulchan Aruch knows that you could really spend your whole life being minateach, dissecting and analyzing that line of a Gemara, from the Gemara. If you start off from the Pasuk, and then you go to the Mishnah, then you go to the Gemara, and then you go to the Rishonim, to the Rambam, to the Torah, to the Shulchan Aruch, and then to the modern Pasuk, and the Mishtabura, or HaShulchan, and to the Tshuvas, to be Menateach, Prote Protim of the Halachas, to understand from the beginning to the end, to dissect and to analyze the Halachas. That's what we're busy with. That's the study of Torah. Yodim Anu B'derech Klal. In general, there is this awareness, of course, in general. Yodim Anu B'derech Klal. There is this general awareness and understanding. Yodim Anu B'derech Klal. Shakol divrei Torah hinam orchas Hashem. We understand that everybody knows that b'derech klal, everything that you're learning in Torah, everything is orchas Hashem. It's all the pathways, like orchas tzaddikim, orchas Hashem. And chayba orch mishur, orch is a path, a way. So yodim ana b'derech klal. Yeah, ask anybody, what are you learning? You're learning some complicated diuk in a Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, and everybody would stop you and say, what is all of this? You would say, if it was a non-religious person, you would say, this is all the Torah, this is all from Hashem, and so on. We know that b'derech klal shekol divrei Torah ma'arches Hashem. And therefore we know, again, that all of this Novim is flowing down from the source of supernal life above. We know that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'derech klal, we know that. But it's not enough to know that b'derech klal. And many of the problems that we have in our Yiddishkeit, not just in learning, but our davening and our kima mitzvahs, and certainly when it comes to our simchas achayim and tikkun hamidos and so on, can be traced back to this problem, that our awareness of the connection between the Torah and Hashem is only b'derech klal, in a very broad and general way. We know that, in a broad and general way. Even technically, the average boy in yeshiva, and I'm afraid to say maybe even the average adult who learned in yeshiva, even after being a bacher, even the most technical level might not be able to explain how is it that we trace what we're doing on Shabbos, on Hanukkah, how we actually live, to trace it back to where it comes from. Where did it begin? Not just to know, oh, there's a pasuk about that, something like that, but how it's mishtalshel, how did we get from Har Sinai, meaning how did we get from Kadosh Baruch Hu, to the blech. What happened in between? What happened in between Anoichei Hashem Elokecha and the blech? What happened between? What happened in between? It's a pasuk, a mishnah, a gemara. So what happened in between? So the average, you have always exceptional people. But the average person really couldn't explain that. The average person, I'm not talking about someone who lived in yeshiva. Some person who lived in yeshiva his whole life. You ask him, look, I see you have this metal thing over your stovetop, on top of your stove. I see you have this metal thing, Shabbos. He says, sure, because otherwise you're not allowed to heat anything up. So that's how we heat it up. Okay, so could you tell me? I'd like to know the history of that. I'd like to know the history of the blech. She says, what do you mean, the metal, when they started using the blech? No, I want to know, how did that come, how was it that when God said to Moses, keep the Sabbath holy, I want to know, how did you guys end up with that metal thing on your stove? From that first speech. How many people in yeshiva could really, how many people that went to yeshiva their whole lives and learning, again, nothing but exceptional people, nice, average B'nai Torah. How many can answer that question without thumb-fearing and saying all kinds of things and at the end telling you, I'll get back to you? And they won't. How?
Just enjoy the challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Don't ask so many questions as deep.
Worse. They think there's no purpose to that. There's no need for the moon.
Oh, they'll tell you, right. He might say to the person that, look, this is, we have a Messiah, and they just trust that everything is okay, and there's no reason to look into it. But any serious Talmud Chacham knows that that's an important question, and if he doesn't have the answer to it, he should be losing his appetite for the tzaddik. He really, if you don't know the answer to that question, you shouldn't really have much of an appetite for sitting down to eat the food on Shabbos. And how many can really answer that question? How did this all come about? That's where you have a person that, you know, come Mechiras Chametz, they'll say, yeah, okay, Mechiras Chametz, no, shame. Some kind of a kunz, you know, a game over here with Mechiras Chametz, what does it mean? So again, ask somebody that lurked in yeshiva's whole life, could you please explain, how did it come to such a thing? That with Bedikas Chametz, and Bir Chametz, and the Bittel Chametz, how did it come to such a thing that there's an Indian of selling Chametz, and who really is selling the Chametz, the Emes? And what does it mean, the Emes? So can a person, a typical person, a good student, and an Eilech Yid that his whole life goes to sell the Chametz, to know the connection between when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on Har Sinai, that the Baruch Shalom said on Har Sinai, you can't eat Chametz. From the time that he said those words, how did it come down to Mechiras Chametz? How did it come down to me putting foil paper all over my kitchen counter, whatever? How did it come to that? So on the most basic level, I'm talking about just technically in learning, technically, not getting anything metaphysical, technically, the connection between Yiddishkeit and the Rabbanu Shalom, between Torah and Hashem, people only have Bederach Klal. So the guy might say, if he is a little bit more, he might know a little bit about Shihi and Chazar, and he can thump around a little bit from what he remembers, because not a yeshiva shemesech, do you understand? They didn't learn Shabbos, not in yeshivas. So he was supposed to, his yeshiva told him that, yeah, you have to learn not all Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Shabbos. And everybody knows that when you learn Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Shabbos, you still don't know what you're doing in the kitchen. So you ask somebody, yeah, you have to learn some, you know, Rav Shimon Ida's book in Hilchos Shabbos. You know, so you try to the person, and at the end of the day, when it's candle lightings in 10 minutes, and your wife says, what do we do now? It's not cooked, the food, I don't know, if I could put in the blach. So then you say, I don't know, I have to call somebody. After all of the years, and not just the halacha l'maisa, but if somebody asks, how did this come about, such a thing? How did it come about? So on the most basic level, before we get into anything more, there's only a general understanding that the Baruch Shem told us to keep Shabbos and the 39 Malachis, and one of the Malachis is Oifa, this Mevashel, cooking something. Yeah. And then if you're more learned, so you could say some more Pratim, but even the person that's learned to be able to say the Hishtalsos, the way that the Vilna Gaon used to be Mavis Edra. That's how the Vilna Gaon used to sit with the Chumash, and he was Mavis Sedri. He would read the pasuk, and then he would say over the entire Torah without anything. He would say over the entire Torah Shabbat Peh on that pasuk. All that existed in the Torah Shabbat Peh, that's how he was Mavis Sedri. He would either go over in his head very quickly. He would say the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, whatever there is on that pasuk, how that pasuk from Hashem is the pasuk, and then from the pasuk to the rest. That, by the way, Rav Kook wanted desperately to correct that situation on the most basic technical level of learning, to make a connection between God and Halacha L'maaseh. Something happened in between, along the way. Yodim HaBedach Chalal, Shekol Devei Tameihim Archus Hashem Noivim Mekar Chaim El Yonim HaBedach Chalal, we know that all of the details of Halacha somehow go back to God. We know that. However, Rav Kook says the soul is not satisfied with that general awareness. The soul is not satisfied with that. That's not going to do it for a Jew, and it doesn't do it. Amnam ben neshama halachai ha'ariga elokiz. In the soul of a Jew, there is living a great godly longing, a craving, a yearning. Noyim Hashem Mifa'im Bikirba. the great pleasantness and sweetness of Hashem is ringing, is mifa'em, is sounding itself, the kirba, deep inside the soul. The kirvas alokim lo toiv mikol machmadim. Closeness to God is more precious to the soul than any of the delights of this world. Va'isa ha'ariga ha'adina, and this delicate longing, he murgeshes gam b'leiv ha'chaim. It's not only felt in the soul, but it's felt in the heart of all existence. We can try to say this in regular English in a minute. He murgeshes gam b'leiv ha'chaim, libi u'bisari, yirannu el kel chai. You familiar with those words? Libi u'bisari, yirannu el kel chai. The words themselves were traced back to Malka Mashiach, but in the Zemiris of Friday night, there's a magnificent Zemir that's written by Ibn Ezra. Soma Nafshi L'Kel Chai. Libi U'Bisari Yiranu El Kel Chai. My soul, Soma Nafshi L'Kel Chai. My soul, Soma Nafshi L'Kel Chai. My soul is longing for the living God. Libi U'Bisari. Now it's very important to remember, we say this when we're eating Friday night. Libi u'bisari yiranu el kelchai. Libi u'bisari, my heart and my flesh are singing out to the living God. Now we've already learned over the years that whenever a cook brings a pasuk, it's not just to dress up the Torah, but the whole etzem of the Torah that he's saying is makusha to that sentence or that pasuk. Libi Abisai means that it's not just the soul. That's why we sing it we sing it in my house, we sing it every Friday night. That's why it's not just my soul that's longing for God. It's my Dovid HaMelech says, my soul and my flesh that's longing for God. This goes back to what we're learning this morning in the Vayah Sha'ar. Libi Ubisari, Yiranu Akel Chai. So, again, let's go over the entire sentence. First, Rav Kook was saying that b'derech klal, in a general way, we know that everything that we're learning, all the details and everything that we're dissecting and taking apart in Yiddish and Torah, we know that somehow it's all traced back to God. However, this doesn't, in a general way, doesn't satisfy the soul, which is filled with a great longing to experience closeness to God. And that great longing is felt in all of life. The gam b'leiv ha'chaim, not just in a spiritual way, but libi u'bisari, my heart and my flesh are singing out to the living God. How does this connect to what the tzaddik was just saying? So it continues. It's hard to know when sentences begin and end. Just because they put a period there really doesn't mean anything. Ulaharim es milas ahargosha ha'atzilis. This is the great longing, and this is what all of creation is singing about. To lift up, ulaharim es milas ahargosha ha'atzilis, to lift up this exalted emotion, this feeling. Hatmuna gam bekerav kol chag ve'hatayra, that is hidden in the depths of every nook and cranny, chag ve, every crack, every opening, every little place of the Torah, uprateha kulam, and every tiny detail of Torah, to lift it up la'oisa hamida. To that great, exalted, all-inclusive hargosha of God. Shima fachu ben neshama mehanoyim ha'elyon. That is beating and burning in the soul. Mehanoyim ha'elyon, from that exalted beauty and pleasure. Okay, we'll try to put this together. Pe'ula zu. This pe'ula, this activity of making the connection between every tiny detail of halacha and that great, great, big hargosha of elokus of godliness. Pe'ula zu abo mitoch masas nefesh adira. This pe'ula which takes place through a great undertaking, a great and powerful effort of the soul, he shayeches lekishur shel Torah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. It all comes from connecting the connection of the Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dahainu, lekesher Torah de l'asata ha'pratis, by connecting the specific, particular lower Torah, im Torah de la'ela ha'klolos, with the unspecific, but more general Torah above. So to try to just translate that into maybe something that, I'm going to work more on this, because the whole parak is about this. The whole parak is going to explain more about this. To try to translate just that we should, in a simple way to understand. Rav Kook is telling us, he seems to be saying, is that there's a Torah de l'Sata, the Torah of below. The Torah of below consists of millions of Svarim, and millions of Pratim, and millions of Halachas. Tilim shel Halachas that you can go your whole life being mefalfel to go into every single detail of these halachas. So very, very complicated halachas. That's the Torah de l'Sata. It's the lower Torah, the Torah of here, of this world. And it's very specific and it's very particular. It's very detailed. There is no other wisdom on earth that can compare to it. People from the outside, if they were to hear us discussing one halach in Shulchan Aruch, we sound like, even if it would be in a language that the person would understand, it doesn't make any sense. How much can you go into this? How much can you go into this question of picking up this thing on Shabbos from here and putting it over there? She said, "What are you talking about? Muktzah? A tiltal? You talk about the rest of your life. Prate prate. That's the Torah de l'Sata. That's the Torah down here in this world. It's very particularized, very detailed. The Torah de la'ela, the Torah of above, is this great overarching presence of God, the Rotzen Hashem, the Ur Hashem, the will of Hashem, that Torah that was even before it came into the world, before it descended into this world and took on all of the characteristics of the particulars and the details. So we even see that it began in a very general way with a pasuk. And then the pasuk descends lower and lower through the generations. As it descends, it picks up a lot of stuff, right? So it says in the pasuk, L'sasek ha'malacha, Yom HaShabbat, L'sasek ha'malacha. She'es Yom HaShabbat, Yom HaShabbat, it says a simple pasuk. So when you look at that, you say, oh, this God wants us to rest on Shabbos. But then as that pasuk traveled down into the world, then it started to get more complicated. Then it picks up Mishnayos, a whole big fat 24 prakim of Mishnayos, the Sechta Shabbos, the Seftas, and Brises. There's on the puzzle, there's Sifra, Sifri, Mechiltas, and it begins to grow. Lahagil Torah Lahadir. And from that big general Ratzon of Hashem, that blast of God that came into the world in a simple pasuk, slowly but surely over the years, since Hashem said those words, there's that pasuk has become so adorned by millions of pratim that it's very, very easy and common that people no longer trace these details back to the source of where they come from. It's just natural that it would happen that way. But the truth is, Rav Kook says, that the soul of a Jew and the soul of all creation, all of the details of creation, the same way that every nook and cranny of existence, every little bug and bird, every little flower, every little thing in this world is a detail of that tapestry, of that big, big picture. And every single soul of a Jew, and the soul of the world itself, every single detail is filled with a great longing. It's not only in the soul, it's gam b'lev ha'chaim. Libi b'sari, it's my heart and my flesh. Not just my heart that wants to know how all of these things bring me closer to God. How exactly do all these things bring me closer to God? I was talking to my son in Yerushalayim. He's trying to daven in a different place over there. He's trying to find a shul in Yerushalayim where he can daven. Sounds strange. He's having a hard time. He's already been there for 2 years. I mean, he was there earlier for years, but now where he lives, he's there for 2 years. So now he went once or twice. I have my good friend, Rabbi Brazil. It's not so far. I mean, it's a little far. So he tries to go there a little bit. They have a beautiful place with some of our chavrus, with some of the boys, and davening there. It's beautiful. But, week after week, like in the shul of the shchuna where he is, the Rav gets up and first begins by saying a pasuk from the Torah, from the parasha. And then Uzi tells me, like, with no apparent connection, he'll go into some chumrah, some inyan that the oilm is tumulting over, like in halacha something. And then it always will end with bashing, like, Mizrahi people and modern people. And like bashing this, Talmud Chacham that Paskind and he doesn't know what he's talking about. And that's how they go home Friday night to sing Shalom Aleichem. He says he feels like every week like he was abused. And he just doesn't want to hear it. Not that he doesn't want to learn halacha. He loves learning halacha. Who doesn't love learning halacha? But halacha that has no connection to the creator of the world. Nothing to do with the creator of the world. And if you would tell this to that Rav, who knows how to learn better than all of us, if you tell that to that Rav, he would then quote 10 Gemaras to tell you that you're a Rasha. For sure. 10 Gemaras to show that you're a Rasha, and that you're not Maritz, and it is not. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of our Yidlach, if there are that many that are from in the world, are being raised or lowered in a world of halacha without understanding in any way how this connects me, makes me closer to the Rebbe Shlomo. And even to say these things would be mocked and ridiculed by those people without any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is why the boys, so many of the boys are sitting in yeshiva. I have these conversations with parents every week. Every week. I had one yesterday with a wonderful mother from the shul. That the son simply does not want to learn. He can't stand it. It's torture for him. He likes to learn Chumash, but he can't. The Gemara is torturing him. He doesn't know what to do. And he started to act chutzpah to the Rebbe, and then it starts to get scary. And the child is asking a legitimate question. In the past, the question wasn't asked. Some people thought about it. But the longing of the soul, especially as we get close to the Mashiach, and this is what we spoke about in Aris HaTshuva. Remember, a long time ago we spoke about the chutzpah before Mashiach comes. The chutzpah, that's where it comes from, the chutzpah. And Rav Kook said in Aris HaTshuva, the chutzpah comes because the Olam wants to know, how does this all fit together? What's going on? How does all this work out? So it comes out very chutzpah. And before Mashiach comes, we're getting to the end, so there's this tremendous, tremendous longing to understand the connection between every single detail of my life and God, the big picture. How does this fit in? The Torah de la Sabta. How does it connect to the Torah de la Ayla? How did it come down to this? That this Rav is standing over there Friday night for half hour yelling about this thing on a Friday night, you know, yelling and again, there's nothing wrong with yelling in halacha and pilpul. That's we love doing that. It's not like I do the same thing Friday night. That's not the point. The point is, in a way where it's not connected, or you see, it would be one thing if that's just one thing that the Rav would do. But what my son is telling me is that that's all he ever does. That's all he ever does. There's nothing else he ever does. There's no other kind of talks he ever gives. His Shabbos morning, the drasha also would be a pasuk, and then what's wrong with the Hasidim? What's wrong with the Hesder? What's wrong with this pasuk, and how you could, and how this halacha comes out different from the other pasukim, and he knows the halacha, all gaiva, all in such a way. It's unbelievable. So he was telling my son that there are a couple of chavah that can't take it anymore. And this, I guess, how other places start. I don't know. But they can't take it. And then the other people, they just sit there like you know, all of a sudden, like they're just jaded, and they just, you know, they nod off a little bit, they listen a little bit. You know, you hear, it's good to hear Magen Avraham or Taz. What's wrong with that? And to hear something, you know, a halach, it's interesting. But mostly it's going back and Shalom Aleichem, Malach HaShem Malach. It's not. There's a longing in the heart of a Jew. And it's not just in the heart of a Jew, but in all that exists. That's why the world itself is so chutzpahdik now. What does it mean? The world is chutzpahdik. You see how the world is moving at such a pace? The world is chutzpahdik. All of physics, all of science is pushing and pushing and pushing to the limits of human understanding to try to understand, to figure out how do all of the details come together. How does everything fit? It's no longer just this particular area of science and that particular area of science. The big, big people in science are the ones that are trying to put together all of the disciplines. All of them that are trying to weave together, who see the undercurrent, the unity of all existence. And these scientists are no longer satisfied just sitting in their libraries or in their laboratories being mechadish chidushim in that prat of creation. The biggest, biggest people in science, and that was what Einstein was already all about, that it's not a question anymore of my specific assignment in the laboratory. Einstein is asking questions about the universe, about all of the entire Bria. That he was looking for God in every single, he didn't say that, he didn't know that. At the end of his life he spoke more about it. But he couldn't bear the tininess of the particles of the atom. He couldn't bear it. And he couldn't accept that there was nothing that connected those tiny particles the entire universe. Small scientists, they get their assignment and they work in their union, they're very smart, they make chidushim, and then it's like, you know, some new detergent that comes out or something. And okay, that's important also. But the big, big, big people, they can't be like that. Even in the old days, like Isaac Newton, he wasn't such a person, because the whole Bria, Newton went around and walked every minute of his life just thinking about the Bria. These great minds, they were the whole Bria, all of creation. Lahavdil, when any question that was brought to the Ragachov would tell you in a second, faster than a computer. The Ragachov would give out how this prat in halacha is connected to this, that. If anybody ever saw any of the Ragachov's farm, it'd be really almost impossible to learn. And they have all these groups in HSL that are trying to decipher it. You bring to the Ragachov a question, and it looks like you're dealing with a specific Indian, and then the Ragachov is Ayin Sham, Ayin Sham, Ayin Sham, Ayin Sham, right? It says, Gitten Chavav, Ksubis Samach, plenty of things, and then Shalom Al Yisrael. And then you just look at this and you say, what's he saying? Look at the Tzofnes Pnech on, even that they put out on Chumash many years ago. That I enjoy looking at. I try. I work because it's very, very exciting to try to get to even understand one part of one of the Rogatchev empires. It's breathtaking, you know, because when you see when the Rogatchev says Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, and okay, you read the Mefarshim, and then when you see the Rogatchev, says look here, look here, look here, look here, look here, look there, and he's talking something in Hilchos Shabbos. What's that to do with Yaakov sending Malachim? And he tells you, look at me. You're looking at a Taisu or something with the halachas of Baira. What is that Baira? You're looking, and then he sends you to these places, and it has to do with Yibam or Chalitza. Yaakov sends Malachim. What is Yibam or Chalitza? So you think maybe he got the, maybe he missed it. So you look a little bit at page before the Gemara, look at a page later. No, he got it. And when people spoke to him like that, that's how he spoke. Look here, look here, look here, look here, look here, look there. But then when you have great people, and they're sitting in a building someplace in Bayit Vagan or wherever, and they're working all day long to try to unravel the mysteries of the Rogatchev's writings, it takes away your breath when you see that everything that's happening in that pasuk, he shows it connects together all of these halachas with those halachas, mesechtes and shas, over the whole world of halacha, becomes all brought together in those words. And those halachas were waiting for the Rogatchev to bring them together. And you could in your mind, you can close your eyes and you could see the big party that they're having. They're having like a big chagiga. That we were waiting for thousands of years for this Jew, of Yosef Rosen, the Rogatchev. We were waiting for thousands of years for him to come and to bring us all together to this big party, to show that what, that all of us are mamish hanashim achim anachnu, brothers. They were all the whole kol haTorah kula. It's all one Rotzen Hashem that came down to the world. Into millions of details, and for all these years, all of these pratim have been separate. All these years, we haven't really been together. And then with the Rogatchev, they have a reunion. By the Vilna Gaon, they all get together again. Every time that you and I make those connections between this prat of Torah and that prat of Torah and this prat of Torah, and then we work our way back to understand how it goes through the Gemara and goes through the Mishnah and comes to the Torah Shebichsav, and Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, then we're making the biggest party. And all of those halachas are dancing, and all of those tiny little details that seem to be unrelated are all singing a big song of Torah Hashem Tmim Mashiach Nafesh. Torah Hashem Tmim, it's perfect. Shivas Nafesh. It gives you back your soul, the soul that comes from God, the chelek of Kamim Al Mamish. So if Hook is saying here that even though we know in a general way that everything that we're learning connects to God, but the soul of a person and the soul of all existence, because on a deeper level, every pebble and every molecule has been detached from that field, separated from the one from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Feels separate. And that's what these great scientists are showing, that you're not separated. You're not separated. And this pa'ula, this activity of connecting the details back to the whole picture, back to the big picture, means connecting Torah to Hashem. It's the same thing when you're connecting that pebble to Hashem. This is what we're learning this morning. This is the avoda of in Gashmias, connecting everything that exists back to God. Avraham Avinu was able to look at the world and to keep the entire Torah by looking at the world. The Yismach Moshe, another tzaddikim, explained that Avraham Avinu looked at the world And in all the details of the world, in every flower, in every bird, he saw halachas. And he was able to keep, even Eretz Hafshilim, he kept by looking at the world. Because the world itself, the hell and the concealment of this world is that it hides the Dvar Hashem under rocks and flowers, in the rocks and flowers. And every detail of creation, when Mashiach will come, will be seen. All of creation will be seen to be Teres Hashem. Umol Ars Deis Hashem Kemayim Eliyam Echasim. There isn't an empty space. There isn't an empty space. It's all Teres Hashem. It's all Elokus. And the same longing in the soul of a Jew, not just to have a general sense that the Torah de Lasata has a connection or has some relationship with the Torah de La'ela, but rather that every single detail is filled with the entire picture and is shining with the light of the whole. That's what the soul is longing for. And the entire world is longing for that. Dahainu l'kesher Torah de Lasata Pratis. Maybe it should be written Lakasha. Here it has the dots, I don't know. Lahainu Lakesh or Lakasha Tardla Sata Pratis Im Tardla Elaklaus. No, I think it would make maybe. I mean, Rav Kook didn't write it with the dots, you understand. So maybe it's really, I don't know. You could read it, but maybe it'd be better to say Lahainu Lakasha Tardla Sata Prat Im Tardla Elaklaus. This pula of joining together, a verb, Lakasha, to join together. And the impatience for that to happen is what causes chutzpah. And as I said, people are chutzpahdik, as Rav Kook said, no, is it true? Because they want to see what's the connection between all the details and the big pictures. They're chutzpah, that's, they're impatient. And the world is chutzpahdik. That's why such amazing things are happening in the world. The world itself, in other words, the details of creation are pushing to be understood, pushing to come together. And so these new discoveries in the world and these things that are happening in technology, there's a chutzpah in the world. The world has a chutzpah. It's not satisfied anymore with sitting still. We were talking to the children a few Shabbos ago, talking about this, like what took everybody so long till they made, now there were certain things that took so long time until Ben Franklin, anyway, he was a genius, and he certainly was Megala, the Indian of electricity. I don't know if it was his complete chiddush, but he had a big part in that. So what? How come that? Why did it take so long until Franklin was, what was going to? And then from Ben Franklin till like all the stuff now that electricity does, that's been a pretty short time. But until Ben Franklin, it was thousands of years. From Ben Franklin to now, it's a short time. And we have all this stuff. that everything was moving very, very slowly. It was moving very slowly. And therefore, in Mela, the children were more accepting of their parents. And things moved at a very slow pace. At that time of the Industrial Revolution, that period where Chazal tell us that the Mayonis above opened, the wellsprings of higher wisdom opened, the Torah de La'ela, and were flowing very strongly, powerfully down into the world, which is the Magon, the Baal Shem Tov, the Industrial Revolution, all of that was happening at the same time. Everything picked up speed. Everything picked up speed, and that was impossible to keep up with. Those who are over 40 years old and grew up 40, 50 years old and older, and remember television when they were kids, we moved at a slow pace. Just, how fast can, Dennis the Menace get? Or Leave It to Beaver. It was just, the Beaver used to run around, but it wasn't that fast. Just the move. I Love Lucy, it was, Little Ricky. It wasn't that fast. Everything now, on any screen that you look at, you can't even look at it because every screen, the kids already are used to that. Hashem Rachim. They're used to it. But the computers too, which I spoke about 2-3 weeks ago. How things are moving. How things are moving on the screen. They have 10 things going on at the same time. And everything's in motion. How everything is moving. All the pratim are like lebedik. Everything is lebedik. Everything is moving. The whole world is mechutzif. Chutzpah, because chutzpah means chutzpah. The side of chutzpah is that you go someplace where they don't think you're supposed to go. That's a mechutzif. You're not invited to the party. You crash a party. That's called chutzpah. Who invited you to go someplace that you don't, that doesn't look like you belong there? That's chutzpah. All of, the whole bria is like that. Chutzpahdik. Because all the pratim are crossing over. It used to be that the children stayed in their house, and people lived in the same town for 400 years, and everything was. It wasn't mechutzif. It was like that. As we get closer, so then everything starts to get, wants to leave its place and to go into other places. Leaving your place and going into other places, that's chutzpah. Who are you? You don't belong over here. And from there comes the union of the children with their parents. Children want to be, when they're still children, they want to be already parents. They think they know, and everything is going crazy. It's berserk. The world is like set on. Used to have like, you know, when you with the cassettes. Sometimes when you made a mistake and you put it on fast, that's like the whole world is like that now. The whole world is crazy from this inyan of chutzpah. And the chutzpah you see, how people talk and how people act, all of that is coming because there's an unbelievable tshuka for the pratim to get back together with the whole and to understand how do we connect to the one above. How is the connection between the Torah de la Sata and Torah de la Eid? It's all of this inyan, like this tshuka that the Rabbim want to be Biyad Ma'atim. The Rabbim can't stand anymore being Rabbim. They want to be Biyad Ma'atim. And the Ma'atim want to be Biyad Ma'atim and Ma'atim and Ma'atim till everything is Shema Yisrael Hashem Hagen Hashem Echad. Echad. Only one. The way that it was, it is, and it will be Echad. And therefore there are breakthroughs. They even call that in science. It's a scientific breakthrough. A breakthrough. To get to the bigger picture. So if Cook is saying that it's not enough, the soul's not satisfied with knowing in a general way. And that's why, as we spoke about many times, and we're going to talk a lot about it later in the Sefer, the last thing that Rav Cook was working on was not Kabbalah, it was not philosophy, even though he was, as we know, that his mind was in such places. The last thing he was working on was he would sit day and night with the Gemara, and with his memory, not even with the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch open, by memory, and each Gemara he was writing down all the Rambams and all the Shulchan Aruchs and all of this. Which we have now, a Machon in Yerushalayim that continued that work, the Gemaras that they put out, the Halacha Brura Gemaras. But that was the last thing that Rav Kook, his last project was connecting the details of Halacha together with the Shirish of where it comes from. That was the last project before he left the world. Which you would have thought, we'd think that the last thing he'd be Isaac would be in Sisra telling big secrets in Kabbalah. The last project was Gemara, putting everything together. Which we're going to see a lot of that. His project, his dream of making that all happen. And how Rav Kook, like the Vilna Gaon, like the Maharal, the big Miyachadim, how those who were very much in that place of Yichud and the Ramchal was so upset about pilpul without getting the bigger picture of the halacha and the sugya, to get lost in the pratim. This all goes back, of course, to the two ways of Chochmah Bina that we learned on Shulis night, must be 3 years, 4 years ago, that inyan Chochmah Bina, which is connected to Chassidus, Chassidim and Snagim, and within Chassidus, the different Shittas. And Mechlal, we spoke about that, the inyan Chochmah Bina. But that's where it comes from. So that's what he's saying. Libi ubisari yiranu akal chai. So look what's happening. Friday night we sing that. Libi, look in this mirror tonight. Look in this mirror. I don't know if you know a tune to it. I'm not going to teach you. It's not in my job description. But But there's beautiful zmiris from Ibn Ezra. Sama nafshi l'kel chai. First of all, just on a very simple level, the whole zemra is bashing Christianity. You might enjoy that. Just on a simple level, it's bashing Avodah Zarah, the whole thing. But on a deeper level, this is what it is. Libi ubisari yiranu l'kel chai. That while I'm eating the Shabbos meal, Shabbos, all the details come together. And I understand that it's not just my heart that longs for God, but it's my body that longs for God. Every detail of life, my flesh. And that's why while I'm eating the Shabbos meal, because I can understand it on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, I take a step back and I look at the whole picture. On Shabbos, Vayichu means Hakol. Hakol Yiducha, Hakol Yishabhucha, Hakol Yayim. On Shabbos, you say Hakol, Hakol, Hakol. Kimsa is chosna al kala, kala is the oasis, hakol, hakol. Everything's hakol. The word halach is the same letters as the word hakala. Hakol, the chasna, yichud, oneness, echad, everything. Everything, everything. At Shabbos, a person takes a step. Because during the week, you're in the details. You're like working on the microscope with the slide. Shabbos, you take a step back and look at the whole thing. Ooh, what? You take a look at the whole thing, you see, everything goes together. So you can say, Libi ubisori yirano kelchai, all the protein of my life, everything in my life, yirano kelchai. Therefore, what Rav Kook is saying, it's not enough to have a general sense. The soul is not satisfied. The world is not satisfied with having a general feeling that it connects to God. We must find the connections all along the way to bind together the Torah del Asata and the Torah del Eila. Now hold on to the pages that you have, and we'll talk about this. We'll go back and trace this to the roots of where this comes from, this Yisoid in Avodas Hashem. Good Shabbos.